Welcome back, ESPN 102.5 The Game, 9 o'clock hour. His name is Luke Rogers.
That's correct.
At the Luke Rogers on Twitter.
It's also correct.
My name is Braden Gall.
So you're 3 for 3, bro. Woo! Wait, it's 9 o'clock hour.
Got my own name right.
Dude, that's...
I don't know if I get any points for that.
No, if you were doing the SAT, you would.
Okay, that's true. You get like 700 points. I get like 700 points for that.
A lot of points for that, Braden.
I would say Chase McCabe is producing, but he's not. Josh is sitting back there hanging out. I'm not sure why Chase has turned over keys to the show to Josh. Josh, you look like a very trustworthy guy, so I trust you.
Thank you.
Say hello, Josh.
Hey.
Intern Calvin back there hanging out as well.
It's been seamless.
I've got everybody's name right so far.
I didn't even realize that Chase wasn't driving.
Well, you don't even need Chase, really.
No,
I'm not sure.
Well, just to talk about Predators.
He's busy, he's busy being
now he's
promoted all the time.
He's being real smug, but from not behind the mic or the board right now. He's just smugging up that room on his own.
Only when he talks hockey. That's
look,
when he gets
I'm
smug.
Still in charge. Okay, you got to show people how to drive the car. Okay,
that's true. Steve Cavendish joining us here. Got another name right. Former editor of the National Scene. God, I'm
all these
really,
points.
Really good at my job.
You really are,
Steve. How are you, sir? Welcome to the show, buddy.
Gentlemen, good to hear you. How are you?
I'm good. Let's start with the Titans. Both coordinators sort of announced last week, and then they show up yesterday and get their first media availability. Any first impressions on your part for Matt LaFleur on offense and Dean Pease on defense?
I think Pease is an interesting hire in just kind of like how you build a group of assistant coaches, because you need to have Vrabel needs to have a room that works really well with him. He's obviously played under him before, but he's going to provide sort of that veteran sort of father in the room kind of figure for the staff, and I think it's going to give him a level of comfort. And then LaFleur coming in, I think is a great hire, but it's going to give him the young, creative, kind of push the boundary sort of offensive guy. I like both the hires, and I loved what LaFleur had to say yesterday, just about not dinking and dunking down the field, because I think that's the thing that drove Titans fans nuts this year. Sometimes was they wanted a more open offense, and what he had to say, particularly about the necessity of trying to get chunk plays and trying to be more explosive, I think is something that I mean. You're supposed to win the press conference on your first day there, and he said all the right things. So that was great. I think two good hires, but particularly Pease, I think is really going to be a good way to build a staff around. So
Steve Cavendish joins us here. Steve, talk a bit about your perception of this coaching staff and how it's different, and how the organization and the franchise looks different. In the Mike Vrabel era, so just so far.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you can build these sort of staffs in a lot of different ways. And with a first-time head coach, it's always sort of interesting to see the choices he makes. And you can go sort of if you go back a few years to the Munchak era. I mean, the Munchak era was sort of kind of build all with kind of like star coaches. Kind of throughout, and then I think you had some of that under Malarkey. You're going to have it looks like less of that under Vrabel. I mean, Pease was ostensibly retired, and LaFleur is getting his first chance at a play calling position. So you don't really know exactly what you're getting, but in terms of what he's going to call game to game, but. You have obviously somebody with a lot of talent. I think it's interesting that he didn't go out and get two guys who were former head coaches to run the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. I think that shows he's going to be active and kind of engaged in the game planning on both sides of it, and that he's going to be this is a staff that he wants to have that's going to be a little bit more organic.
Steve Cavendish joining us here, former editor of the Nashville Scene. I feel like the discussion is about expectations in year one, not necessarily expectations for the total tenure of Mike Vrabel, which obviously you fire Mike Malarkey to move on to Mike Vrabel to win a Super Bowl. That's the point. And that will be the evaluation benchmark. But for year one, is it as simple as playoffs or bust, or is it more complicated than that for you?
I think playoffs are the minimum that you set. I mean, they were a playoff team this year. You're not hiring a, you didn't jettison the previous coaching regime in order to move backwards. I think the expectation is playoff and a playoff win and maybe more. It kind of has to be. And then if you're Vrabel, you want those expectations, okay? You want to have there's kind of two ways to do this. You can go coach in Cleveland and win four games and be hailed as a messiah, or you can go to some place where you have a chance to win and where you have expectations put on you. And I think that is the best possible situation if you're somebody like Vrabel. And I think we as fans should expect more from the Titans next year. You have to.
Steve, the Josh McDaniels situation and story, turning down the Colts job and going back to the New England Patriots in sort of an abrasive style and in unexpected fashion. Is it the greatest story of the calendar year or the greatest story ever in NFL history?
I don't know of how many people around the league cheered when they heard this story. I certainly did. When you're fired by your own agent, that is just a delicious, delicious story. McDaniel, I don't know, he better get the New England job because he's never going to get another head coaching job. You cannot lead a team out of a coaching search process and lead them on for weeks. And it's a small league. The rest of the league is going to look at that and go, you know what? I will never, ever give you the chance to do that. And plus, I mean, who as assistant coaches would ever, you know, look at McDaniel in another situation and think, I really want to join that staff. It's fantastic. And for a guy that imploded as much as he did in Denver, I'm a longtime Patriots hater. Given the Patriots tomorrow, I would love to see him mess up the Patriots. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, switching gears here. Let's talk a little bit of hockey. We kind of got our Titans fill there. Predators lose yesterday, 3-2, pick up a point. I think one of the biggest stories we've had here in Nashville is the return of Mike Fisher. Of course, that's going to be a lift from all the intangibles, the emotional, the leadership, all that kind of stuff. From a hockey standpoint, how much of a lift do you think Mike Fisher brings this team as they head into the sort of the home stretch of the season here?
I mean, Fisher's not going to give you significant goals or significant minutes this year. He's going to be a good boost, and he's going to be your fourth-line guy. But, I mean, I think really with the trade deadline coming up, you would have to think that the Preds are still going to be players and trying to pick up another piece and try to pick up more scoring. They're one of the best defensive teams in the league. I think when they shut out the Kings, they ended up being, they're the number one goals against team in the league. But that's good for you in the playoffs, but you need more scoring. I keep looking at New York and wondering if they're gonna hop in and try to rent Rick Nash for, a couple of months, or if they're gonna rent somebody else. They have some pieces, obviously, they could do it with. I think somebody like Pontus Aberg, and think this is a guy who has a scoring pedigree, who really could might need a change of scenery in order to kind of jumpstart that. He's not going to get those chances here, floating in and out of different lines. And certainly when the Preds are healthy, he's not going to be on their top two lines. You need a top two line winger, I think, to come in and be able to give them a little bit more punch to make them a favorite in the playoffs. Right now, I don't know that they have enough scoring to be considered a favorite, even though I think that they will. I think they're going to do well in the playoffs. They're just kind of built for it. But Fisher coming back is going to be good for the team. It's going to be good for the fans. But do you expect Mike Fisher to score, 8 to 10 goals down the stretch? I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think they expect him to.
No, I agree with that. Steve Cavendish joining us here. Do you look at two games in which the Predators trailed after two periods and say, all right, they picked up 3 out of 4 points in those two situations? Or do you look at it and you say, there's no reason that team should have been trailing after two periods? Which side of the coin are you on?
I'm glad that they picked up points. They're obviously, like, if you look at how they were playing before the new year and after the new year. I mean, after the new year, I think they have one loss in regulation. You know, their losses are coming in overtime or in shootouts or you know, kind of that way. And that's a good sign in the sense of you're always in those games. But they got to figure out a way to kind of get over the hump and not have to play themselves back into it. Although, you know, you see them against I was watching the Rangers game the other day. There's a talent gap between Nashville and most of the league. And you see that kind of manifesting itself in the way that they can play their way back into a game. What Laviolette needs to have happen is to kind of push them into putting teams away earlier, so you're not having to come back in the third period, tie it up, get to a shootout. I mean, they're so frustrating to watch in overtime and shootouts anyway, because it feels like you're watching a different kind of hockey game. And I don't know that they're necessarily built for that, which is why the playoffs can't get here fast enough.
It does feel like there's, like, this year is so different, Steve, with Predators fans, that you're just, everyone's just like looking at their watches. Like, are we there yet?
Absolutely.
Are we there yet?
Absolutely. I mean, you're looking at almost every game in terms of, does this feel like a playoff game or not? Like the Blackhawks game. I mean,
yeah,
they end up losing the game, but that was more of a playoff atmosphere. I mean, you could tell the fans were up for it, and it's interesting to see kind of what the fans get up for now that they've had that taste of, you know, a deep run into the playoffs. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a good problem to have.
Steve Cavendish, former editor of the Nashville Scene. We'll see you around, buddy. Thanks a lot, dude.
All right. See you, kids. Thanks.
Good stuff there from Steve. And it is. I feel like there's a third season of hockey. Like, there's the playoffs, which is one level of hockey. There's the regular season, which is obviously a totally different tier of energy and intensity. That's what we always talk about, right, with hockey, is that you get to the playoffs and things are crazy different. There feels like there's this third season in the middle, which is like right now.
Yeah.
Which is where, if you're the Preds, you're fighting for a division championship, you're fighting for seeding, you're fighting for home ice. If you're one of these like 15 other teams or 20 teams that are all just desperately trying to get into the postseason.
Yeah.
And there's a different level of hockey since the All-Star break. He mentioned it. He noticed it with the Chicago game. It started that night, and since that night, almost every team they've played has been playing at sort of a different level of energy and intensity, and it's sort of this season it's all ramping up to the postseason. And this city, like, I can't – people are like – by the way, if you want playoff tickets, you got to get them before February 25th. The Predators are taking all types of ticket requests until the 25th, and then that's when they're going to cut you off and move you down the list. So you got to buy your tickets now, because the whole city is just, like, staring at the end of the tunnel. We're all just like, are we there yet? Like,
yeah.
Playoff hockey cannot get here soon enough.
Yeah, everybody's cranking it up, amping it up, ratcheting it up, whatever you want to say. It is a different level of intensity and I think urgency for teams that really want to get themselves into the dance.
Hal Gill going to join us coming up in about 15 minutes or so. When we come back, you got to hear the GM, the Colts GM, Chris Ballard, his response to Josh McDaniels. You got to hear this. You're not going to be disappointed. You got to hear this when we come back. It's priceless. Luke Rogers, Braden Gall, ESPN 102.5 The Game.